You know, I was thinking this week, a few practical things happened, and how God has orchestrated things, and how those things seem to align with the things of the Spirit. Something very, very natural. We've got a few iPads around the church that need to be reset, restored to factory settings. And as I was working and thinking about that process some this week, I thought about how much many of us need a reset. Many of us need to be restored to the factory settings. And some of the iPads were easy to do and others were difficult, and that just reminded me that sometimes we can push against the reset that God would have for us. And it makes it difficult for Him to reset us. The Lord wants to do a deep work in His people. And as we go through life, we gather things in the world. Some of them are good things, some of them are not so good things. And there comes a time that we're just so overloaded that we need a reset. We need God to do something. I've got a really, really old Apple Watch, and I get my email and my text on those, and then it comes to a point that there's so many on there that it just takes so much time to delete them one by one. I just go back and do a factory reset. Just erase everything on my watch so that I can start fresh again. And how the Lord wants us to lay everything down and allow Him to refresh us, reset us, because we pick up things all along the way. Think about the bottom of a ship. The longer it's at sea, the more barnacles get attached to it. And there comes a time that they have to clean all that off, but because it begins to impede its journey or its ability to journey. And that is so like our lives, that we allow these things around us to attach to us. And they're slow. It's a slow build. It's a slow build even on my watch. You get one text here, one text here, and all of a sudden you got 500 texts on your watch. Well, it's a slow build. The barnacles of life. And I feel the Lord saying that He just wants to clean those things up. He wants to take the barnacles off of us. He wants to reset us like an Apple Watch or an Apple iPad. And He wants us to be back to where it was brand new. And I want you to think for a moment about how your life changed once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. There was this flood of newness. And we can go through life and we can muddle through life at times, and we find that we're just picking up extra weight and we're not moving in the joy that we used to have. We're not moving in the freedom that we used to have. We're not moving with the lightness of life that Jesus brought us. And I think He's pointing this out because some of us need a reset. Some of us need to be restored to factory settings. And it's not that He's not done good things in your life, but you can get so encumbered with all the stuff that you've picked up that you don't even realize the true calling on your life. Your first love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave the ultimate, He paid the ultimate price when we didn't deserve it. We pick up things along the journey and it slows us. Therefore, we're not as productive for the things of God. And if we don't pay attention to the shape of us, if that makes sense, not the weight of us, but the condition that we're in, we can plod along through life and think that it's supposed to be this hard. But it's really not supposed to be hard. The things of the world are tough. But the Bible tells us that Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So if we're having a tough time going through life, could it be that we have not been restored to factory settings? Could it be that we've allowed the things of the world to attach to us and therefore slow us down? Maybe even begin to block our vision. My sister-in-law, Susan's sister, is facing something that a lot of people have gone through, is cataract surgery at some time this fall. But she didn't all of a sudden wake up one day and say, you know, I don't see as good as I used to. But it was a slow build. And she didn't even realize she wasn't seeing that well till she went to the doctor. Went to the doctor, says, well, your vision is not as good as it needs to be. And it's because of these cataracts. She didn't have a clue that her vision was messed up. Sometimes we just say, well, that's just the way the lighting is, or whatever it is. But the reality is that there's an answer to her vision issue. Thankfully, there's an answer to it. But I want you to think about the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus. How great God is. I want you to think about what He sees in us. And maybe life is just a little too hard right now, and you're wondering what is going on. And maybe you look at things in the natural and you've blamed, well, it's this, 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 and this. But have you gone back to the manufacturer? Have you gone back to Jesus? Have you checked in with Him? Say, God, what is going on? Why is it so hard? If you ask Him that, He'll tell you. And He'll likely show you areas in your life that you've allowed things to attach, and therefore life's been so hard. With the power of Jesus available to us, nothing should scare us, nothing should frighten us, nothing should cause us anxiety or fear because of Jesus. Without Jesus, yes, there is plenty to be afraid of. But because of Jesus, all fear should be gone. Because He's there. And if something's not working well in our life, let's go back to the manufacturer. Let's go back to factory settings. That Jesus loves us, this we know. For the Bible tells us so. And He wants His people to be full of joy. He wants His people to be full of victory in Him. He doesn't want His people to be problem-free, because if you are problem-free, you won't lean onto Him. But if you have issues, and you know what to do with those issues, then it is an easier walk. Jesus is famous for making ways where there is no way. And we look at situations in the natural and we say, there's absolutely no way this could ever work out. But then we step back and we look at things through the Spirit. We look at things through the manufacturer's eyes. And we start seeing clearly in the mud. We start seeing clearly in the fog. What the enemy has sent to cause you to be disoriented, Jesus says, listen, if you just lean onto Me, you'll be able to be oriented in the most awful places. You won't lose your bearings. You won't lose who you are. You will not pick up things in the culture because you're relying on the manufacturer. We sometimes think things are too hard for God, but listen, there is nothing too difficult for Him. Nothing. If you think about this, He made you. Why in the world can't He fix you? Why can't He open up the right path for you? He can. Far too often we don't realize which path is the right one because we've got so much baggage or things attached to us that we just can't see clearly. A couple weeks ago, I talked about Susan and I taking a walk in the Botanic Gardens at the at Riverbank Zoo, and we decided to take the walk through the woods, and there were several directions you could go. And we would come to a point, and we knew where we wanted to end up. We wanted to end up at the tram so we didn't have to walk back up it. So we knew that's where we wanted to go, and we were trying to find out what is the right way, and there wasn't great signage. So we stood there, and we looked at our options, and Susan said, "This is the way." She didn't say walk ye in it, but that's what she meant. This is the way. We took that, and that was the way. See, it's nothing wrong with trying to figure out which path is the right one, but it was obvious which one was the right one once we began looking. Far too often, we'll take the first path. Oh, that must be it. Without even asking the manufacturer. Without even being concerned about what He would want us to, where He would want us to go. And if we'd have gone down the other way, we might could have eventually got to the tram, but we would have been a long and winding road. It probably was a dead end to somewhere, and we would have had to make our own way. And that's the beauty about God. He will make a way where there is no way. What if we went the wrong way, but we were listening for His guidance? He could show us a way out. See, that's the beauty of knowing the Word of God, is that you can apply it to your situation. It is so important that we understand the Word of God and hide it into our heart. Not just so we won't sin and have those repercussions, but so we will please the Father. David hid God's word in his heart so he wouldn't sin against God. He wasn't even talking about what the cost of sin would be to him. He didn't want to do that to God. The Word of God is so rich. It is so rich. And as we take it in, it becomes life. That we can live in this fallen world in an abundant way because of the Word of God. The Word, His breath, His very breath, it's active, it's alive, it's true, it's our strength, and it's our peace. Some of you maybe are in places in your life where it's just not peaceful. Things are just not going calmly like you would like. The Word of God is your peace. And if there's one thing that all mankind seek, is peace. We all want peace in our home. We want peace in our workplace, in our relationships, in our health. We want peace in our finances. And if we want to quote a common beauty pageant line, we want world peace, right? We really do. The truth is that everything in the world is better off with peace when we have our peace. There's a sharp contrast in a home that doesn't have peace and then a home that has peace. Peace is what you should seek for. The Bible tells us that as far as it depends on us, live at peace with people. Well, you just don't make a decision, I'm just going to live at peace, without understanding the peace of God out of His Word. Both the Hebrew and the Greek words for peace mean about the same thing: safety, prosperity, harmony, tranquility, and well-being and wholeness. Peace is not just the absence of conflict. It's big. Susan and I enjoy watching a TV series that are set in the early 1900s to the mid 1900s, and we're watching one right now, and it has a young man going through great turmoil in his life. He's conflicted and in utter confusion. The medical profession is trying everything they can to bring him peace, and they happen to be using some horrible methods, but they're doing it to bring him peace. So far, it's not worked. But I find myself wanting to tell the TV doctor to bring in a Jesus follower, because Jesus is the only hope for peace in this character. Now, I don't think it's going to end up there. I don't think the series is going to do that. But the fact is that many people are looking for peace in the wrong places. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 26:3, you, God, keep him, that's us, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. New Living Translation says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. But I love the Amplified. You will keep in perfect peace and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. What drives out God's peace? Lots of things. Here's a few: worry, anxiety, fear, uncertainty, insecurity, selfishness, anger, pride, unforgiveness. You can fill that in with almost any of those nasty things that we deal with. And what does the enemy use to rob us of God's peace? It's simple: anything he can. Whatever is going to cause you to be at unrest, the enemy will try to use that. Here's what I know. The enemy knows exactly what it'll take to rob you, me, of peace. It might be something different for you than it is me, but believe me, he knows what'll take place. He knows what it'll take for you to lose your peace. See, the devil has a PhD in peace robbing, and sadly, we give him too much ammunition. What I found in my own life, there are things that rob me of the peace that God intends for me to walk in. And those things are things that I haven't fully committed to him. They are things that I have chosen to hold on to. 1 Peter 5:7, give, cast all your worries and cares, that's your anxieties, to God, because he cares for you. Anything that I have not fully given to God, our enemy will use it to rob us of the peace that God intends for us to have. And here's one thing about God's peace. As in every one of his attributes, it's not ordinary. It's not common. It can't be duplicated. It actually confounds the world. One of the biggest impacts we can have on others is to walk in the peace of God in the midst of hard situations. Maybe you have a difficult situation in your life and the people around you know that. If you walk in the peace of God, it makes an impact on them. How can that do? How can they do that? That's a great question for Christians to receive. How can they do that? Well, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I can walk through this horrific thing and still be peaceful. Not because my circumstances are great, but because my God is great. Not because things are going perfect for me, but it's because the manufacturer has the best plan. Listen to what the Bible says about this peace, Psalms 4:8. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, our Lord, will keep me safe. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God, peace that comes from Christ, rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Romans 8:6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Psalms 29, last part of verse 11, the Lord blesses them, his people, with peace. In John 14:27, Jesus tells the disciples, and we are followers of Jesus, therefore we're disciples, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give, the world can't give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Over the last few months, we've been faced with multiple opportunities to walk in the peace of God in the midst of some very hard situations. And I can tell you that the peace of God is real. Don't be fooled. I wasn't perfect. Just ask Susan. I had my moments of non-peace. But the resident peace of God was there that I could tap into. It's this reservoir of God's goodness that we can actually remove ourselves from the natural condition of things and tap into his peace no matter what's going on in your life. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, Pastor, you don't have a clue what I'm facing, and that may be true. But God knows. So I want us to look for a few minutes at some common peace robbers. A peace robber is anything that robs your peace. The first is, what do you do when you're faced with hostility, be it overt or passive? We all face that. Before we answer any of these questions, I want you to remember the high calling of being a follower of Jesus. So if you remember the high calling of being a Jesus follower, what should you do when you're faced with hostility? Well, Matthew 5:11-12 says this. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. The thing that you're going through in life is not new in history. Hostility can be a peace robber. Second question I would ask you, as you remember the high calling of being a Jesus follower, what should you do when faced with disagreements? We all have disagreements in our life, and disagreements can rob you of your peace. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but hard words make tempers flare. I can tell you that I put that into practice, not to try it out, but my nature has been harsh sometimes. And the peace got further away. But if we apply God's word to that situation, a gentle answer in a disagreement will kind of bring a calm, whether that other party is willing or not. So you're not really concerned, or you can't control what happens in their life, but you can certainly invite the power of God to handle your life. Disagreements can be a peace robber. What should you do when you're faced with hatred? Remember the high calling of being a Jesus follower. James 1:19-20. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce, listen to this, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Hatred can be a peace robber. What should you do when faced with confrontation? Ephesians 4:32. Instead of being bitter, having rage or anger, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Confrontations can be a peace robber. The last one we'll talk about this morning is what you do when we're faced with war. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. War can be a peace robber. And there's so many more peace robbers out there. And you just got to be aware of what robs your peace. What happens around you that robs your peace? That's the very thing you need to apply the Word of God to. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Listen, it's harder to sin when our thoughts are fixed on Him. You're tempted by something? Fix your eyes on Jesus. The temptation to yield begins to lessen. I can't tell you that it absolutely goes away, but the more you fix your eyes on Jesus and what Jesus says and what God's Word says, the more victory you're going to have in your life. Listen, if you have walked with Jesus for a number of years, you should be a little bit more victorious than when you first started. But so often we just pray the prayer of receiving Jesus and we think everything is done. Everything was done on the cross. That's true. But he wants to make you more like Him. That doesn't happen instantaneously. It'd be awesome if it did, but that's just not the way the manufacturer has caused things to work. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Fix your attention to God. Fix your attention to what God has said. Fix your attention on where God is telling you to go. So I wonder if we would make a commitment today of seeking to live in the peace of God in a more successful way. Success doesn't really depend on you. Obedience is your issue, my issue. Because if we're obedient to the Word of God, then the things that God says will happen will happen. There's always a condition. Will we obey God? Or will we disobey God and just expect Him to do what He said He's going to do? See, the walk of a disciple, a Jesus follower, is one of obedience, is one of sacrifice. And listen, there will be times when the sacrifice really does hurt, that it really costs you something. But when it begins to cost you something, and maybe it takes you aback and you catch your breath, think about what Jesus did for you. Think about the price He paid for you. Think about the sacrifice He made for each of us. He took the punishment of our sin. There's absolutely nothing He could require of us that is more sacrifice than that. It's easy to follow a leader who has allowed God to work in his life. When you think about Jesus, it was not his will, but God's will that he wanted to do. He made a decision to do that. So the very leader, our leader, the head of this church, has allowed God to build the statutes in himself. He's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done. It's much easier to take guidance from someone that has done what you're being asked to do. Living in the peace of God will change your family. It'll change you. It'll change your workplace. It'll change your relationships. Actually, your doctor will be glad that you live in peace. Stress is one of the top killers. And doctors will do everything impossible to reduce your stress, but you've got to follow his orders or her orders. Just because you have a doctor that has given you good advice doesn't mean that you are going to benefit from that unless you apply it to your life. And I want you to think about the Word of God in that way. It is the ultimate truth, the ultimate life, the ultimate life, the ultimate strength, the ultimate peace. Why wouldn't we apply it? I got a cholesterol issue I've had for years and years. I really don't have an issue because I got a pill that takes care of that issue. But I've had that in my life. My bad cholesterol tends to be high no matter what I do. So my doctor gave me a pill and it takes care of that. Just knowing that I can take this pill and it will lower my cholesterol, I'm going to be obedient to take this pill. Because my wife doesn't want to be a widow. Because this is the solution in the natural. And it works. And if I go to my doctor and my cholesterol has spiked again, first thing is that, are you taking your medicine? It's the first thing he'll ask. I want you to think about how many times we bring things to God that aren't working in our life. And we have not consulted or applied what he has already told us to do to take care of that situation. Now, God's got a lot more patience than my doctor. My doctor would lay it on the line. Listen, this thing's going to kill you if you don't do it. Now, I don't miss my pill. I take my pill. I like that cholesterol being low. But how often do we just ignore what God has said about this issue and we choose to let our peace be robbed by the peace robber, by Dr. Peace Robber, and we'll listen to him more than we will to the great physician who has got the plan? His word is everything we need. You can't come up with a problem that we can't find somewhere in God's Word that will address that problem. That's because this is the very breath of God. God as creator breathed this Word. He's not going to give us something incomplete. He's not going to give us something that won't work. But you got to work it. You got to apply it to your life. You can't apply it to your life unless you know it. And you can't know it unless you spend time on it. The Bible tells us to meditate on God's Word. Meditate. That just means, and listen, you may not want to meditate on 100 verses at once. Let's just take one. Meditate on it. Repeat it. Memorize it. Look at different translations to give a different light on maybe something that you've not seen. And then see how it applies to your life. See, I know that God's Word is the answer. I'm not perfect in applying it. I'm just a human being. But I try to get better at this. I try to have my yielding to the peace robber far less the longer I serve Jesus. Because it's not healthy to live in chaos. It's not healthy to live in turmoil. It's not healthy to live in anxiety. It's not healthy to live in all those things that the enemy sends your way just to rob you of that peace. But we can fight that enemy with the Word of God. We can remind the enemy what the Lord has said. And listen, we can say all kind of ugly things to the enemy, but when we tell him what God has says, the enemy quakes in his boots, if he wears boots. Oh, here's a funny. We saw a dog yesterday with four boots on, a boot on each foot. It was the funniest thing. He was high-stepping like a Tennessee horse. But you know, the enemy might not wear boots. Anyway, in my mind, he wears boots. And when we tell him what the Word of God says, it affects him. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go on to someone who doesn't know God's Word because he can have his way with them. He doesn't even have to try someone that doesn't know God's way. They'll just go there. They'll think that's just what we got to do. But if you quote the scripture back to the tempter, it stops him. He may try to be a little more creative and come about another way. But there's always a verse we can fight with. There's always the truth of God's word that we can face this enemy with, and we can repel his fiery darts. And we don't have to bow down to the tempting of the evil one. Because let me remind you, he doesn't want good for you. It might look like it's something that might be fun, or it might even be good for you, but if it comes from him, it is not good for you. In fact, the Bible says it very clearly. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come just to give you a bad day. He wants to annihilate you. He wants to annihilate me. Because if he does that to every Jesus follower, then there's nobody here on earth doing the work of Jesus. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Word of God, it is so rich. It is so satisfying. It is so applicable. It is our tools of war. You think about in the olden days, they had arrows and they had them in a thing behind them and they'd pull them out and get ready. Listen, we can pull these things out immediately if they're in our heart. We need to hide his word. Not that we're trying to hide anything. It's really storing his word in our heart so we won't sin against God. And the product of sinning against God is there are repercussions to sins. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but there's a repercussion for not taking God's place in something or God's point of view in something. How can God know all? Well, he's God. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He already had your life planned. Why in the world wouldn't we go to him when we have this thing? What do I do, God? What do I do, God? And listen, we can't know every scripture in our heart. There's some of you that probably have a lot of it memorized, but we can't know it all. But we have ability to search. We have the ability to look for it, to seek. And listen, I can tell you this, if I don't know exactly where the verse is, the Lord will give me a couple words of the verse, and you can search for it. You can find it. There's never been a time in history that you can't search for stuff and find it as easy as you can now, including what the Word of God says. The Word of God is true. It's alive. It's active. It's his very breath. God spoke this word. He breathed out this word. The creator of the universe, who knows everything, gave us this word to live by. And listen, on this side of heaven, there are always going to be some scriptures that we really don't understand. But I can tell you this, I trust the author. If it's in there, God had a reason to put it there. I might not understand it because I am just this feeble human, but I trust the author. And God wants his word written upon your heart. You might can take that as a word that you can get tattoos. I don't know. That's kind of controversial. But he wants to write his word upon our heart. Why? So we'll have it. He knows we need it. We can't be successful in life for him if we don't use his word. And his word is good for everything. But we all face battles. We all face battles. Even the one you look across the church and think that they're perfect and they probably never have a care in the world. They have cares and they have battles and they've lost battles. No matter how good we look, we've actually got some battle scars. But I want to hide this word. I want to store this word in my heart so I won't sin. Not so that I can brag about my non-sinful life. No, it's so I'll please the Father. It'll please the author, the creator, the manufacturer. He will reset us when we read his word. You having a bad day? Go to his word. That might be a soft reset. It might not be a hard reset. You may come back and have to be reset again. But reading his word will give you a different perspective. And your attitude will change. And you'll begin to love people even when they hate you. You'll begin to love those that have persecuted you. You'll begin to love people that have done you wrong. You'll begin to see them as the one that God doesn't want to perish. See, the word does so much. And when we speak the word, that word is alive and active and it's loosed into the atmosphere once again. That's why it's so good to speak the word. Get it out there in the atmosphere. Begin to fertilize your home with the word of God. One of our dogs is getting a little old, and first time in our history with him, he's confused the carpet and the grass outside. So we got to do something about this. It just doesn't feel that fresh. So we got some air fresheners and we put it all over the house. And then we went off and we came back a couple hours later, and those air fresheners has consumed the house. That's exactly what we wanted. We wanted those to consume the bad smells. But I want you to think about the word of God when you bring it into your home, or bring it into your workplace, or bring it into your relationships, or bringing it to your finances. It absolutely saturates through and through. It's better than the Glade plug-ins, because it begins to go into the crevices and begins to reach areas that you didn't even realize needed the living word of God. That's the beauty of it. The word of God is so rich. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Find a version that you can read. Find one that you can relate with. But don't neglect it. You don't have to memorize it, but it sure is handy to have it in your heart, because you don't always have your Bible. You can in your phone, I know that, but you don't always have it in a natural sense. Something happens, you can apply what's stored in your heart to that. You can even say, God, I know your word addresses this. I don't know exactly what it says about it, but Lord, I release your word on this situation. I don't want to respond in a wrong way. I don't want to miss what you want to do in that situation. Lord, I just release your word to that. You know, God is faithful and he's able to do that. And then he'll show you where it is in his word if you really want to know. See, God's not trying to hide his word from you at all. God wants you to devour his word. To just soak it up, drink it in, live it. Because it'll be you may be the only Bible someone will ever meet. And if we know the Word of God, we're going to talk the Word of God. People around us are going to hear the Word of God. Even if they don't know it's the Word of God, when they start hearing something that's eternally true, it can affect their life. So we have such a powerful weapon, but it's so much more than a weapon. It is life. The very words of our Creator. It's life. So I hope that you'll begin to look at the Word of God in a different way. Not a legalistic, you got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. You ought to want to do this. Even a small something every day of eternal truth will change your life. And there's something about the compounding of the Word of God in your life that the more you store, the more residual benefits that come from it. It's a powerful thing, compounded interest. You start making interest on interest. The Word of God, as it's stored inside of you, you keep making those deposits, and it's going to explode in your life. You're going to find that your first nature, not second, first nature will be to apply the Word of God in this situation because you know you don't have it in you, in your natural self, to do it. And listen, God will honor it even if it's your second or third nature, but He is looking for first natures. That we would, before we would respond or react or make a facial response, we apply the Word of God. Somebody told me the other day that they knew something was crossways with them. They were sitting with a group of people, and if you looked at them, you could just see it on their face. They were crossways with something. And you know, that's not a witness. It's not. Who would want that? Who wants to follow the one that looks like that? So we have responsibility to be a reflection of Jesus. And you can only be a reflection of Jesus if you know His Word. So devour His Word. Store His Word. Honor His Word. Obey His Word. And your life will change. It really will change. You'll find that you begin a hunger like never before. That if you do these practical things to make it a habit, you're going to start seeing your life change. And all of a sudden, if you miss it, you really miss it. Nowadays, maybe you're not a habit of it, and you might be read it once a week or something. You get this Word in you, and you won't be able to go too long without finding more. And uncover the truths, and uncover the unconditional love, and uncover the patience and the power that's in the Word of God. We can't explain adequately of how the Word of God has absolutely transformed our lives, our homes, what we put our hands to, our relationships. And it doesn't mean that things are perfect, but it does mean that that's our go-to. What does God's Word say about this? And we apply it. And at the same time, we are probably saying, God, forgive us for it not being our very first nature. Forgive us for the response that we had, or forgive us for the attitude that we had, or forgive us for our reaction to that. You know, when you talk about love, the Bible talks about love in Corinthians. In the last part of that chapter, it says love hardly knows, doesn't even realize when it's been done wrong. That's how you know that you've applied this well. You apply it to a situation and there's no hurt afterwards. You have to really think about what the problem was. And listen, that's a miracle in itself, if you think about it, that we would forget. That we don't even remember why we applied that blood, that word to it. But that's the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is so valuable. It is our most valuable commodity in walking with Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, let's pray.